Stop fighting and bickering. Get along with the person you love. Brought to you by RelationshipPractitioner.com. Every person on this planet wants to feel love and to be loved. When two people fall in love, both individuals have these ideal dreams about what the future holds for them. There's always this desire for more happiness and stability as you continue loving and living with the person that truly matters to you. Well, what causes relationships to collapse? As time wears down the thin veil of idealism, couples often find out that loving someone and staying in love takes a lot more work and energy than expected. Troubled couples discover that personal dreams for the future can clash frequently, and even the smallest personal differences can spark raging flames of discontent and anger. Sadly, many couples allow themselves to be consumed by these flames, and soon enough, what was once a rosy garden of a relationship suddenly becomes a smoldering field of ash. How can people keep their relationships alive? This is actually one of the oldest questions in the book, and after many, many decades of debate, relationship experts have finally come to the conclusion that relationship troubles arise not because people are fundamentally incompatible, but rather they lack fundamental skills needed to keep a committed relationship alive. When a relationship is based solely on physical attraction and pleasure-seeking activities, almost nothing will bind the relationship together. If nothing is done to remedy this type of situation, the relationship dissolves into thin air, and what was once cherished is fractured, sometimes beyond repair. Is there a magic bullet for relationship problems? This book was not designed to be a cure-all for all known relationship issues. Such a book cannot logically exist because human relationships are extremely complex due to the sheer number of factors that contribute to their development. Now, this book will give you something much better than a love prescription. It will give you the essential tools that you can use to improve your relationship or repair it before it completely dissolves. Why is change important? It's my personal belief that only a very small number of people are incapable of change. A person needs to change if what he's doing is not producing intended results. This book is an open invitation for positive change. If you really want to make a relationship work again, you must be willing to expend just a little more energy to fix it the right way. You cannot fix a relationship by trying to dominate the other person or by giving in at all times just to keep the peace. Both extreme practices are unhealthy for intimate relationships because they are unsustainable and, at the core, unfair. A healthy intimate relationship should always provide a balance of give and take. You can gradually achieve this state of balance and happiness by using the skills outlined in this course. It is my sincere hope that this book reaches everyone on time and that it provides a bright ray of hope for those who want to stop the fighting and bickering and make their relationship work. Generally, intimate relationships can be extremely rewarding, but they aren't easy to sustain. Like a living, breathing organism, an intimate relationship needs to be nurtured and taken care of on a daily basis. The volume you are reading now marks day one of your new lease on your life. Remember, there's always hope because we create hope ourselves. Hope is a subjective expression of a person's willingness to attain something. Things might not work out overnight, but if you have hope and you are willing to change and work for a better relationship, you definitely deserve a second chance at happiness. Here are some assumptions. This outline course assumes the following. 1. That you are seeking relationship advice because you are presently encountering difficulties such as fighting and bickering in your present intimate relationship and or marriage. 2. That you'll be using this book as a general reference only and not as a form of therapy or professional advice, for example, as a substitute for marriage counseling. And 3, that you will approach these new skills with an open and positive mind so you can make the most of your new knowledge. The power of active listening. What is active listening? Active listening is a powerful antidote for miscommunication and a potent cure for the bickering that only succeed in making both you depressed or angry. The goals of active listening are simple. Eliminate the common barriers to communication, understand what your significant other is trying to tell you, and provide and receive meaningful feedback. Who can benefit from active listening? Active listening is recommended for couples that fight a lot. They never seem to understand each other's views and opinions. If you feel that your paramour has closed off part of herself or himself, and you can never truly reach her or him anymore, it's time to apply the principle of active listening, not to win arguments, but to give your lover the time and venue for genuine self-expression. You definitely want to do away with the combative mentality or the desire to win at every argument. First of all, your goal as a responsible and loving mate is to have a dialogue, not to argue. Arguing will just create complication, and it's generally hurtful to get into an argument. If you want your partner to support your views, do it properly through a dialogue. What's the difference between plain listening and active listening? When I tell people who fight and bicker a lot about active listening, they often laugh and tell me, he's always talking, I can't help but hear it. See, the problem with this mindset is the person's intention. When you feel that you don't have a choice but to hear someone's words, your main intention is to not listen or pay attention to the other person's input or feedback. People are very good in determining other people's intentions. If you have been actively ignoring your partner's feedback for many years, then you can be fairly certain that your guy or gal feels hurt and abandoned. Even if you're physically present in front of your loved one and you hear your mate's words, it doesn't mean that you are actually listening. Look at it this way. A tape recorder can record hours of audio at a push of a button. Does it make the device a good listener? The capability makes the device a good recorder. If you can create a litany of what your lover has been telling you repeatedly over the years, then you're simply recording, not listening in the most active and meaningful sense of the word. Are you ready to put that past behind and start the dialogue anew? Follow these three steps and you'll be on your way to a love affair void of fighting and bickering. Step 1. Avoid common communication barriers at all costs. What is a communication barrier? In the context of a couple's dialogue, a communication barrier is a state of mind that prevents you from understanding what your mate is trying to communicate to you. Remember, hearing the words and listening are two very different things. Here are some common barriers that have been observed in married couples. A. Psychic reading. You have an innate distrust of what your partner is telling you, and so you make assumptions about what he or she is really saying at all times. B. Over-practicing responses. You spend so much time formulating your objections to what is being said that you end up missing the point of the dialogue. C. Selective hearing. To put it simply, you only hear what you want to hear. Negative issues and opinions are completely ignored because they stress you. What results is a massive miscommunication that can have consequences years later. Another version of selective hearing is that you are only responsive when your mate sounds hostile or depressed. When you think your loved one is okay, you stop paying attention to what he or she is saying. D. Judging. Instead of trying to understand where your mate is coming from, you're more interested in assigning labels to what you're hearing, or worse, your lover. This greatly diminishes a person's good judgment and blocks any meaningful dialogue from taking place. E. Fantasy escape. You pretend you're listening and you mutter infrequent responses, but mentally, you're someplace else. You'd rather be outside or on Neptune than to listen to what is being said. You space out, but you try your best to hide it. But it shows in how you respond to your significant other's input during an interaction. F. Over-advising. When you hear your lover complain about something, you immediately formulate a logical solution to the problem with the intention of ending the problem for good. What over-advising does is it stifles your mate's desire to simply share his or her bad day with you. The solutions you're recommending may be technically sound, but your approach is emotionless and cold. G, combat ready. You listen carefully to what your loved one is saying so you can create the perfect rebuttal. You live to debate and win every argument. You need to feel right and dominant all the time because you believe that you're either entitled to it or you're simply better at doing things than your partner. H, perfectionism. You try to listen to what your mate is saying, but if you hear something that hints at an inadequacy, whether real or imagined, you become defensive and you lose sight of the original intention of the dialogue. I, misdirection. Instead of facing problems and issues head on, you have a tendency to joke about serious things, or you bring up unrelated issues to misdirect the conversation. For example, if your paramour is bringing up issues about your monthly cash flow, you may suddenly feel the urge to talk about your son's day at school or your day at work. J, over agreement. This is the most common problem for couples who want to avoid any type of conflict. They dislike fighting and bickering, all right, to a fault. Instead of actually listening, some people simply agree to what their companion is saying at the first hint that something is wrong. The problem with this approach is that you're agreeing, but you're not actually hearing what your partner is trying to tell you. Step 2, employ active listening strategies. What is feedback? In a nutshell, active listening is consciously focusing on the subject or the other person in the dialogue. You treat him or her like the star of the conversation because that is the only way that you will receive feedback or input that you can use to formulate reasonable responses. Feedback-centered communication is used in clinical psychotherapy because it helps draw out buried issues that are often the real triggers or causes of problems in people and in relationships. You may feel a little overwhelmed at first, but as you continue to actively listen, you will soon realize that you can not only avoid fighting and arguing, you can solve problems together, and there's still hope to live harmoniously with each other. Well, how can you become an active listener? Active listening is actually logical and easy to learn. Let's talk about some basic strategies that you can start using today. Remember, identify and resolve your communication barriers before attempting to restart the conversation with your loved one. Strategy 1. Paraphrase important messages. When your companion says something important, whether it be negative or positive, restate what you just heard so that your mate will understand how you understood it. Don't try to sugarcoat the message or lie just to avoid fighting. It would be best to be honest and open during a dialogue so you can resolve problems more quickly. Strategy 2. Clarify the message. When your intention is to understand someone, you would want to clarify what you just heard to make sure that you and your partner are on the same page. Clarifying questions such as, "How did my actions make you feel?" will not only improve your listening ability, but it will also draw out hidden emotions and objections that your mate would otherwise keep locked deep inside. Strategy 3. Give your feedback. Active listening is about receiving and giving feedback. It's the sequence that's important. You cannot give good feedback during a dialogue if you understood none of the feedback that was given to you in the first place. When you provide your feedback, make sure that you, 1, state things in the positive. For example, "I really want a new car because I'm having difficulties with the old one," instead of, "I don't want our old car anymore." 2, say it as soon as possible, so that your loved one will feel the desired impact. 3, say it honestly, with no intention to sugarcoat or misdirect. 4, give constructive and usable responses with no intention of dominating your lover. As an example, "I think moving out of the state will cause us financial problems that we can't solve right away," instead of, "You're so selfish for wanting to sell the house and move back into your old neighborhood." Emotion management. Why should you pay attention to your emotions? Your emotions are an integral part of your consciousness and who you are. Your emotions reveal your true personal state and are actually reflections of your current mindset. Emotions express what our conscious minds are incapable of coherently conveying through words. Your emotions have the most important function to convey your genuine feelings, whether they're good or bad. While it is true that excessive emotions can get in the way of having a meaningful relationship with your companion, they should not be ignored or suppressed. Instead of suppressing your emotions, which will only cause an emotional backlash in the future, your best option is to manage your emotions. How can you effectively manage your emotions? One of the best ways to manage your emotions, especially when you're interacting with your significant other, is to be very clear about what you feel and why you're feeling that way. The biggest hurdle for many people is the idea that they have to justify the way they feel in front of their mate. Many men and women feel entitled to express their emotions unabated, but they don't seem to realize that being married to someone means they have the responsibility and obligation to express their emotions meaningfully so that the other party would be able to make sense of the situation. When I coach troubled couples, I often hear one or both parties accusing the other of being unstable or extremely emotional. I've discovered that the root of this problem is the inability of the majority of married couples to lace together their thoughts and emotions in a meaningful manner. Here's the good news. This major problem can be solved through a simple process called emotion journaling. What is emotion journaling? Emotion journaling is a way of managing your emotions in a non-destructive manner by writing down very specific details about your emotions so you can fully comprehend and express yourself. Intense and raw emotions can be extremely hard to control and comprehend. Remember the last time you thought, "I'm so angry I can't even speak right now"? That's a really good example of how emotions can have this immense power over us. They tend to overload our conscious thinking, and as a result, they can ruin many good dialogues if you let them control the situation. How can emotion journaling help a couple who argue too much? Not many people are aware of this, but one of the main reasons why troubled couples have a tough time resolving their issues is that they can't express themselves properly. When a person cannot express his or her emotions to his or her significant other, several things can happen. One, the message is not understood in its entirety, or it is not understood at all. Two, the person feels frustrated that he can't express himself adequately, and the feeling is compounded when a dialogue causes more complications. Three, the person tries to stifle or hide his or her emotions. Eventually, there's a massive buildup of emotions, and all these repressed negatives will eventually explode at the most inopportune times. Four, excess emotions are used to dominate or belittle the other person, leading to more arguments and hostility. Five, the person feels depressed and shuts himself off from meaningful interactions. Emotion journaling has two main goals. One, to allow you to understand all of your emotions and why you're experiencing them in the first place. Two, to allow you to express yourself meaningfully with the intention of being understood and to genuinely interact with your loved one so you can solve the issue at hand or simply be heard. How can you apply the concepts of emotion journaling? Emotion journaling can be accomplished in a few easy steps. Step 1. Capture and visualize your emotions. Emotions can be difficult to get a hold of, especially if you're used to letting them rampage through your mind whenever they surface. Those days are done. The first step in emotion journaling is to identify all of the emotions that are bursting to be expressed. However, in their current raw form, you can't express them yet. You still have to consciously process them so that you can comprehend and identify their causes. Here are the guiding questions that will help give shape and form to all the emotions that you want to understand and express. 1. How did the event affect you? 2. Was the experience good, bad, depressing, etc.? 3. What does the emotion look like and where is it in your body? Visualizing emotions can help create meaning when there used to be just raw emotions. Identify where your emotion is glowing from within your body and what it looks like. Descriptions such as shape, size, color, brightness, and length are all valid. 4. What is your emotion trying to tell you? Again, this is a form of visualization. Close your eyes and talk to your emotions after locating them in your body and giving them form. Don't judge anything at this point and just let the exchange happen. Write down what you hear your emotions say. 5. What do you feel is the best recourse right now? We're talking about the immediate action that you think is the best solution for the perceived problem. Negative emotions arise because your mind perceives a problem, an incongruity that needs to be straightened out. Your mind always generates immediate responses to these incongruities. Identify the action that your mind thinks is the logical next step. 6. Is your emotion linked to a similar experience or emotion in the past? 7. Describe your emotions and use as many words as possible. Step 2. Write on your emotion journal. Well, what should you write on your journal? Simply write every bit of insight that you learned in the first step. Write on several pages if you have to. Also, it would be a good idea to repeat this process whenever you feel a strong emotion, such as sadness, anger, anxiety, fright, etc. When you write down your findings, make sure that you also write down the date, the person involved, the details of the event, and a summary of your emotions. This journaling style will help you see cyclical events in your everyday life that give rise to specific emotions. You can use this information in a variety of ways. Think of the possibilities. Step 3. Express them. After spending a considerable amount of time studying your emotions, it's time to express them. However, we must not fall into the trap of using single word qualifiers to describe how we feel. It is best to make an effort to weave together the vital details so that your partner will fully understand the true nature, cause, and depth of your emotions. Before interacting with your partner so that you can express what you really feel, it would be useful to structure your feedback/input using these important points. Number 1. Define your emotions using several related words to fully express what you feel. Here is an example. I'm stressed out right now, irritated and angry that people seem to be so insensitive of my simple needs. Number 2. Assign a proper intensifier to your emotions so that your companion will understand the level of emotion you're experiencing at the moment. Example, I'm a little angry that you forgot our anniversary while I cooked a special surprise dinner for you. Number 3. Think of how long you've been feeling the emotions. Example, I've been angry since last week when you forgot our anniversary. Number 4. Describe the root cause or trigger of your emotions. Do not describe your mate as the root cause because people don't trigger emotions. Events, actions, and situations do. Here's an example. I feel depressed and alone because I lost my job, the job that I loved for almost 12 years. If you describe your mate as the root cause of all your negative emotions, your partner will feel like he or she is being pushed into a corner. Number 5. Associate the emotion you're feeling presently with a similar emotion from a past event in your life. This will give your companion a bit more context as to how your emotional drive works. Example, I felt the same way when I lost my mother when I was 15. Number 6. Create a concrete statement using all of the above details. Here's an example. I feel alone, depressed, and isolated because I lost my friend. It's been 2 months since my friend died, but I still feel like it was yesterday. I feel so bad about what happened that I cry every night before going to sleep. The last time I felt this bad was when I lost my brother to an accident in third grade. I was so devastated, and I felt like it was my fault, though I know it wasn't. Positive reinforcements. Let's face it, after being together for a while, life becomes difficult because routines get old And the small things that didn't bother you before become big issues that annoy or irritate you for months or even years. People think that this is a sign of falling out of love, but what is really happening is that the level of pleasure and enjoyment within the relationship has dissipated. The solution is very simple: positive reinforcement. What is positive reinforcement? And why is it important? Positive reinforcement in the context of repairing a marriage is a process of identifying the things that make you and your lover happy and actively giving these things to make the relationship happier and more satisfying. This type of effort will be reciprocated in order to work. Both parties do well to accept the need for this process and make an effort to make each other happy. If only one party is interested in positive reinforcement and he or she receives no reciprocation, then he or she might become even more resentful and hostile. Why? Because it's simply not fair for someone to feel that his or her efforts are not being valued by another person. Since this is a joint effort, things have to be planned and mapped out in advance. Here's a blueprint to guide your journey to renewed happiness in your love life. 1. Identify what makes your lover happy. What makes your significant other happy? Create a list of things that will make your loved one happy or pleased. Focus on the simple things, and don't resort to expensive vacations or diamond rings. Though these are nice, they aren't necessary, and sometimes they can be misread as, "I just did something horrible and I'm guilty, so have a diamond ring." The majority of married couples are relatively easy to please, and the things that they are seeking within the marriage are also easy to produce, like taking care of the baby on some days or being more conscientious about your appearance when you go out on a date. List as many as you can so you have multiple options when it's time to put things into action. 2, use your list and make your mate happy again. After a week of observing and talking to your companion about what makes him or her the happiest, it's time to please your partner. Select as many things on your list as possible and start doing or providing them. To remain motivated, take note of the things that you've been doing for your mate and note the reactions and how you felt when you did it for him or her. 3, create a list of what pleases you. Since you started this process, it's fine if you inform your lover as to what would make you the happiest guy or girl in the world. Do not list down things that have been causing severe friction in your relationship, because this may send the wrong message to your loved one. Big problems should be solved collaboratively, just not right now. Give your list to your partner and talk to him or her about the things that matter to you the most. Now would be a good time to be really honest about your thoughts and how you feel about the things you've listed down. Don't hold back. Be honest, but you still have to be supportive and positive. Also, don't forget to use the active listening strategies we discussed before. 4, receive and appreciate your partner's efforts. When your guy or gal reciprocates, show your happiness and appreciation. Remember, before this process, you and your mate were probably ignoring your individual issues, and no doubt there was discord between the two of you already. This is a vast improvement, so let the momentum flow between you and your loved one again. It's time to let love reign supreme again.